This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here for Ag News on your Wednesday afternoon. The battle between small oil refiners and the ethanol industry over EPA ethanol waivers went before the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, Tuesday. The case pitted Holly Frontier Cheyenne Refining against the Renewable Fuels Association, the National Corn Growers, the National Farmers Union, and others in the refiner's appeal of a lower court ruling. Matthew Morrison, speaking for the RFA, told the High Court that Congress wrote, and the justices should interpret the Renewable Fuels Act based on a plain understanding of the term extension when referring to waivers.
Petitioners have given this court no compelling reason to depart from the ordinary meaning of the word extension, and it should not do so here. The context in which this word is used in the statute confirms that this ordinary meaning is also the only appropriate and plausible meaning. Consequently, any extension of the temporary time-limited exemption for a new compliance year must be preceded by an exemption in the prior compliance years.
Peter Keisler, speaking for the refiners, told the justices just the opposite.
Even if extension is read in its temporal sense, that does not require continuity. No dictionary defines extension to require continuity, and Congress has used the term elsewhere when it's specifically authorizing the temporal resumption of a benefit after a lapse.
Keisler argued Congress did not intend to force small refiners out of business if they couldn't comply with the RFS in a single year, while Morrison, for the RFA, countered few refiners failed as they could pass along their costs. The justices challenged both sides, but the ruling later this year could be a close call, coming down to Congress's intent in meeting the needs of two highly competitive industries while still boosting the nation's energy independence. In the latest ag news from around the world and on trade, last year was an interesting year when it came to trade between the United States and China. Late in 2020, China began purchasing large quantities of American agricultural goods while attempting to meet the obligations of the Phase One trade agreement. David Windmar is an ag economist with the Agricultural Economic Insight. He says 2021 is picking up where 2020 left off late last year.
2020 in the data looked like it was a pretty strong year, probably not as exciting as we would have hoped early in the year with the Phase One trade deal, but it's really interesting because it's a year where we had 7 or 8 months of just absolute lackluster activity and then a flurry of activity in the last few months. Some of that's expected because of the seasonality of China's purchases of soybeans especially, but it was just really strong late in the year. And we've carried that over, and there's a lot of enthusiasm about will China purchase a record amount of goods, of ag goods in 2020. And we didn't get there for a host of reasons. Now it looks like we could be off to the races for a record level of excitement.
Windmar says it's been a while since China bought commodities at this level.
The last time they made big purchases was in the 2011, 12, 13 era, sort of that super cycle of commodity prices. And even at the height there, they failed to cross the 200 million bushel mark. These purchases are a huge increase from where we've been recently. Big increase, almost double their historically large purchases. So I think the question for 2021 and beyond is how long will China be in this corn purchasing phase? And what will the size of those future purchases look like? Is this sort of a one and done event? Or is this maybe a trend that we can see play out into the future?
But the main question is how long China will continue this buying spree.
One of the things that you also have to keep in mind is China's trend or appetite for ag goods, especially soybeans, has been on an upward trend over the last 20 years. And so there's a lot of reason to believe that China will continue to purchase into the future. Those purchases will be growing over time. Thinking about 2021, it's where do we play out in 2021 with respect to the total market? How much is available in South America? How much does the U.S. have available? And how do we approach that going forward?
U.S. soybean supplies are as tight as they've been in years, but will there be enough to meet overseas demand and domestic crush?
the U.S. soybean ending stock situation is very, very tight. So you have sort of this narrative where China's out purchasing back to normal. I wouldn't say it's some sort of new level of China purchasing, but they're back to normal where they were before the trade war. And we also have this tight stock situation. So when you step back and think about where the farm economy is, we have more usage of soybeans today than we had in the last few years. And we're also being able to sell those soybeans at a higher price than we got over the last 2 years. And that's a really big improvement and development in the ag economy.
Again, that was Dave Winmar of the Agricultural Economic Insights. In the latest news from the USDA, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says there's no truth to the talk that the Biden administration wants to take land away from people and discourage consumers from eating beef to help fight climate change. Vilsack says the president wants to protect 30% of the nation's land by 2030, but doesn't plan to use eminent domain to take possession of that land. The Hagstrom Report says Vilsack told an ag journalist that the talk from a land grab is really off base. Quote, there's no intent to take land away from farmers, he says. Quote, the goal is to give farmers more opportunity. Vilsack also talked about rumors that the Biden administration plans to limit how much beef Americans eat. Vilsack says there's no effort in place to limit the intake of beef coming out of the White House or the USDA. In political world, games get played and issues get brought into play, Vilsack said. The rumor seems to have started thanks to a University of Michigan study on beef. The study says cutting the intake of all animal-based foods by 50% and replacing that with the equivalent quantity of plant-based food would decrease greenhouse gas emissions, rather, by 35%. Quote, there's no policy paper in the administration suggesting that people eat less meat, Vilsack added. Moving on now to state ag news on your Wednesday. The Illinois Soybean Association is rolling out a new era of biodiesel work in a big way. Utilizing vehicle wraps, the association is debuting ISA's new biodiesel artwork. The new artwork is part of a recent rebrand effort for ISA's biodiesel program. Illinois Soybean Association Communications Director Rachel Peabody says the brand redesign reflects the new audiences ISA is now targeting in its biodiesel efforts.
ISA has been involved in biodiesel work for probably upwards of a decade now. It's such an important industry for our soybean growers. But this year, we took kind of a fresh approach to some new audiences that we knew we wanted to target. So that means we recently rebranded our biodiesel program and put kind of a fresh spin on things. We rolled out some new logos for both our ISA biodiesel campaign and the B20 Club. And also, our brand redesign really is looking at some new audiences as we talk about that biodiesel topic in Illinois, particularly farmers, rural communities, also urban audiences and lawmakers, all people that we want to put biodiesel on their map.
By utilizing vehicle wraps, the campaign by ISA is hitting the road and reaching those new audiences.
This is a really fun campaign when you get to see your messaging literally hitting the road, as you said. We recently wrapped District 10 Director Elliot Uphoff's grain truck. He's taking that biodiesel message everywhere he goes in his semi. We're also wrapping Premier Cooperative Biodiesel Salesman's work truck as well, basically taking that biodiesel message on the road and to the farm, helping tell that message to farmers and rural communities that biodiesel is a homegrown solution. It's sustainable, but it also helps boost their bottom lines. They're growing soybeans out in those fields, and those soybeans can in turn become biodiesel that they can run at home on their farm and in their equipment.
Peabody says B20 biodiesel is a high-quality fuel option that can power farm equipment year-round, in addition to offering many environmental health benefits.
So really, it's kind of the best of both worlds. It's a sustainable solution, but you're also getting that performance. So farmers using B20 to fuel their farms, they're really putting money back in their own pocket, as B20 biodiesel adds more than 10% to the price of soybeans, and it really helps reduce that soy protein waste. B20 can be used in diesel engines with no modifications. It improves engine lubrication and extends engine life, and it may even provide better fuel mileage.
She says biodiesel also creates demand for soybean oil, which helps take some of the price pressure off soybean meal, which is primarily used for livestock feeds.
So it's really important to think that biodiesel can also make value out of that soybean oil component of the bean. So biodiesel's impact on these factors, really in where it falls in the farmer's value chain, it's a benefit that the livestock industry can utilize too when they think about it from a feed perspective.
And if you'd like to find more information on biodiesel online...
For more information on biodiesel, we've got a ton of great resources on ISA's website, and we also put up some new farmer-facing biodiesel information on the website. So for farmers interested on finding biodiesel or reading more about it to consider if it's a good choice for use on their farm, they can go to illsoit.org and then go to our farmer resources on biodiesel.
Again, that was Rachel Peabody with the Illinois Soybean Association, and again, that website is ilsoy.org. In other state ag news here on this Wednesday, the Farm Progress Show is readying for a live in-person event this year. The attraction is August 31st through September 2nd in Decatur, says show director Matt Youngman.
Yeah, we are planning full speed ahead for a live in-person event August 31st, September 1st and 2nd. We're all watching the direction of the curves and the vaccinations, and really the vaccinations are going well enough that Governor Pritzker's bridge is attainable as long as those curves go in the right direction for 28 days. But even at that, with a 4 million square foot exhibit field, I can still get a full Farm Progress Show crowd in there and give everybody enough room to social distance. So we are charging ahead. We've planted the crops for the field demonstrations. The exhibitor numbers are coming in really strong, with a few outliers, like a company from Canada that they're worried about being able to get across the border. So I think our international numbers are going to be down just a bit. But, you know, in terms of growers here in Western Illinois coming and seeing what they expect to see at a Farm Progress Show, I think this year will be all of that, and just excited to get back to live event. You know, the state fair is charging ahead, county fairs are charging ahead, we're having a rhubarb fest, you know, all these things that you wanna hear are happening. And I'm gonna get to see a lot of events come off before I've ever got to do a Farm Progress Show. So I don't think it's gonna be groundbreaking for us to get together in person at this year's show.
As you may remember, last year's Farm Progress Show was a virtual event. And moving on to local ag news for your Wednesday, don't forget coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the University of Illinois Extension Montgomery County Master Gardeners will be holding their Mother's Day Hanging Basket Sale, again on Friday from 9 till 6 and Saturday morning from 9 a.m. till they're sold out. It'll be held in the parking lot between the Masonic Lodge and Brown's Insurance in Hillsboro. Proceeds from this benefit go to the Montgomery County Farmers Institute, and just in time for Mother's Day, they have 10-inch premium hanging baskets with assorted colors, sun, and shade varieties. All plants are $15, and again, go to benefit the Montgomery County Farmers Institute coming up in September. Again, the Mother's Day hanging basket sale being held this Friday and Saturday at the parking lot between Brown's Insurance and the Masonic Lodge in Hillsboro. Also coming up this weekend, the Jerseyville FFA chapter will be holding their plant sale. That'll be held at the Jerseyville High School greenhouse behind the high school. That'll be held this coming Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And in other local ag notes, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, along with Country Financial, will be sponsoring a benefit golf outing coming up in the later part of July. It'll be held at the Indian Springs Golf Course on Route 185, just south of Fillmore. There'll be a shotgun start at 8 a.m., and it'll feature various contests, prizes, and lunch. The event will benefit the Montgomery County food pantries across the area. And more details will be coming, with sign-up information soon to be available on the Farm Bureau's website and their Facebook page. Again, that's the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, along with your Country Financial agents in Montgomery County. They'll be sponsoring a benefit golf outing coming up in later part of July. Be expecting more details and information to come on the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Facebook page. And that wraps up your Ag News here on a Wednesday afternoon, but remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Wednesday afternoon, April 28th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.